Welcome to the Ninja Coaching Coast to Coast podcast, where our mission is to help you learn and grow by sharing the tips, ideas, tricks, and more that we learn from speaking with top producing real estate agents around the country every single day. I'm Matt Benelli, here with Ninja Coaching founder and owner Garrett Fry. And although we focus a lot on real estate, this podcast is not just for real estate agents. It is for anyone who is looking to better their business and increase their income per hour in order to enjoy all of the things that life has to offer. So prepare to take in a lot of value that you can put into action in your business and your life. Enjoy the show. When we find it, dot, dot, dot. This is step 10 of the buyer process. And Garrett, I'm excited to talk about this today because this is one of the most overlooked parts of this process. I feel like people go through a buyer interview with somebody and they get to the whole point where they're going to start the search and they're like, okay, let's get pre-qualified. And then they go and they forget this crucial step about talking about what's going to happen when they're out there, if they find the right home, when they find the right home, what stories need to be shared to prepare these buyers, particularly in this marketplace. And you and I had a great conversation about this the other day, which kind of spawned the topic of doing talking about the listing side and now talking about the buyer side. So, I mean, let's talk about that. First, good morning, Garrett. And what are you seeing out there with these buyers?
Yeah, good morning. And you know, it's interesting, and this is the reason we went into the listing side last time, and now we're looking at the buyer side this time, is this marketplace is moving really fast right now. And there's, and this is pretty much, I mean, there's very few places across the United States that I'm not seeing it moving very fast. Fast on the listing side, fast on the buyer side. There's some pre-qualifications that need to happen to make sure that two things. One is that you're setting your buyer up for success and setting yourself up for success. Watching, you know, people spin their wheels with buyers and going, gosh, they're not making the decisions that they need to make. They're not moving forward fast enough. They're not being aggressive enough. And a lot of that comes back to, well, what did we do in the 10-step buyers process? What did you do in your first sit down meeting with them? Did you set them up for success? And did you set yourself up for success? And that's usually where we're locating the issue. Is way back there where it could have been fixed right up front. And they're wanting, I mean, obviously they're wanting the solution right now because they're in the moment and they're like, no, I need help now. It's like, oh, well, we can try to fix it now, but you screwed it up way back then.
Yeah.
So that's why I like that, Matt, you brought this topic. I think you brought this one originally and I was like, can we talk about listings first? And that's where the one that we recorded the other day, you know, the last one we put out was. But this is really important to get people to see, you know, why are they experiencing what they're experiencing with their buyers right now? And it is fixable. Like, this is like a fixable thing that you don't have to, because not everybody's dealing with it.
Yeah, I agree. And not only is it fixable, but this also helps you get clarity for yourself as the realtor to understand, should I continue working with these buyers? Are they real buyers? I mean, with listings, we talked about, like, when should you walk away? But a lot of times we never walk away from buyers. For some reason, I was talking with some agents the other day, and someone was saying, well, how long should I keep a buyer on my list? And I was like, well, how long have they been there? And it's like years. And like every now and then we go see something and it's like, okay, well, first, I'm not saying you need to break up with them, but we need to have a serious conversation because something is missing. First and foremost, and we don't need to go through the whole 10 steps, but doing the entire Ninja 10-step buyer process will set you up to have this conversation at the end of this interview with your buyers to help set them up for success and really gain the appropriate clarity. Because I think there are steps, things can change, you know, the pieces of paper, the what's and their whys can change during the course of a home buyer search. It's possible, but creating that mindset for them and really understanding when it comes time to perform for them, because they have this goal of theirs, they have a vision, there's a reason why they want to buy. And if they're not aligned with being able to take action when the time comes because of certain mental blocks, we need to have a conversation about it.
Well, Matt, you brought up an interesting piece, which is like people will hold on to buyers for years. And I think the reality is that it's hard for people to measure what is the damage that's being caused by holding on to this person in their business.
Oh, yeah.
Listings are easy. Like, you can see the dollar amount. you know, depending on how expensive the listing is that you're holding on to that you never should have taken, very clear in your mind. You can look at your books and be like, whoa, okay, so I've got X amount for staging that I've paid for. I've got X amount for, you know, maybe I paid for an inspection, maybe I paid for this, and I got a listing that's never going to sell because it wasn't set up properly. When looking at buyers, it's time. Time is what you're actually, is what you're spending. And the problem is time is not a renewable resource. It's not something you can get back. It's not something that you can work harder and make up for it. Time is time. It's gone. And yes. And yeah, Matt, it's amazing how there's a weird level of hope that when somebody has been working with somebody for 3 years and they're like, oh my gosh, I got my 3-year like marathon buyer done today. And I think that there's that hope of like, it will pay out. It will work. This will come together at some point. So it's worth me giving my time. And I've always said to people, but how many other people could you be working with?
Yeah.
Like how many other people could? And really, I look at it as how many other people could you be helping? There's so many other people that need your help out there. And when you are spinning your wheels with somebody who's not taking your help or not needing your help or not going to move forward with your help, that's too bad. Like, let's not do that. Let's move forward here. So Matt, you started to talk about the 10-step buyer's process. And yeah, I don't think we need to go through every single piece of it because that's not what this is about. The biggest part you pointed out was that final question on it.
Yeah.
So the final question is, again, when we find it, what will you do?
And nobody talks about this. Like the people don't ask this question because they're like, well, they're going to buy it, of course, right? It's like, are they? Are you sure?
I've asked it before and they're like, oh gosh, when we find it, we're going to contact my dad. He's down in Louisiana and he's going to fly up. He's a home inspector and I want him to have his eyes on the house and go through the whole home. Well, I want to know that way before.
Well, it also helps. I mean, yes, 100%. Like dad flying up from Louisiana, sister flying in from California because she's an attorney and, you know, I need her to look at the contract physically. It's like, wait a minute.
And believe me, and I know there's all types of people out there going like, well, you can just write that in the contract as a contingency for them to see the property. Not in a lot of markets right now. That is a deal killer.
Well, not only that, I mean, definitely in these markets, but not only that, even if you could write that in, like, why are we waiting for that to happen? Let's get this out in the open. And the other thing is getting their mindset right. Because what will we do when we find it? If it's a competitive market like we're seeing in a lot of places across the United States, are you willing to pay what is necessary? Are you willing to pay fair market value, which to you right now may seem like you're overpaying? But if you have 20, I heard the other day, 20 offers on many of the listings in a marketplace. This is actually in Toronto. This is not even the US, in Toronto, Canada. 20 offers on almost every property that's on the market. That's crazy. So you're paying over list price. Fair market value is now very, very high because of the extreme low supply. So if your buyers are not ready for that, we need to have a conversation. And so what I love about this last part of the buyer process, or the buyer interview, we could call it, is it's story time. It's time to talk to your buyers about some stories. Well, yep. Let me tell you about the buyer who waited. Let me tell you about the buyer who did this. Let me tell you about the buyer who did that. And this is your time to start having these important conversations with your clients, because when they're in the property and they're like, oh, this is the one, that's not the time to freak them out with a story about a buyer who lost it because they didn't do enough. Because now you're putting the pressure on and they might just be like, I don't know if it's worth it. But if they already know, then they'll be ready to go.
The pressure also, when you bring up that story in the moment, becomes very salesy. You know, it's all of a sudden, it's like, it's a tactic to get them to write an offer at that point in time. Or when you have that conversation way up front before you ever go out and get in the car and go looking at property, now it's education. And you can share those great stories. You can share what's happened recently, what you've seen with people. You know, I was just talking with a gentleman up in Seattle, and he said that the last 5 deals he's been involved with over the last 2 weeks have had anywhere between 10 to 15 offers on every single property. This is your opportunity to prepare somebody for that so they don't get morally ruined on their first time going out and writing an offer and going like, what do you mean we're up against all these people? And you didn't tell us it was going to be this crazy. And it's like, no, this is why I said, you know, what are you going to do when we find it? Because that's when we need to step up and we need to be ready to play ball, because we're going to have a lot of other people we're playing against. That you got to tell the stories up front.
And I think it's also the time to let them know that, hey, I'm going to ask you some questions when we're out there to help you with clarity. What we're looking for is just honest answers, right? You know, so when you get into these situations, like you said, Garrett, it can seem salesy if you haven't had any conversations and all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't know, Garrett. I mean, 105% of list price, you think that's going to get it done? I mean, this is a multiple offer, you know, market that we got going on here. If we want to make this happen, we're going to have to go 110%. Like, your clients are going to be like, what are you doing to me? But if you preface with the stories and maybe the data of where homes are selling first, so they're not going out there thinking that they might be able to just, oh, it's the seller's list price. Like, that's, we could do that. Well, you might need to go more. But then on the backside of that is like, hey, I might ask you some questions like, are you okay if we wake up the next day and there's an offer that's higher? Like, I don't want you guys pushing beyond your financial limits or your means or what you're comfortable with, but I want you to be comfortable with the reality of this multiple offer marketplace and let you know that there's going to be some interesting scenarios. And I'm just going to ask you some questions to make sure you're comfortable and you're clear and you're confident with what you're doing.
And Matt, you just brought up a point that is really important, which is I don't want you spending beyond what your financial capabilities are, because I think that's the other part of being a healthy buyer's agent in today's marketplace is guiding them so that they don't get caught in the feeding frenzy, but they are getting to a place that they want to be at and they're solving a problem in their life. It's actually one of my biggest concerns I've had out there is when it gets crazy feeding frenzy like this. And of course, the realtors kind of get like blood in the water sometimes and they're like, oh my gosh, there's so much business to be done. And there are some very compelling agents out there that will make their clients step up and push to levels that there might be a boatload of buyer's remorse the minute that they walk into that house and it becomes theirs and they realize that they may have paid an astronomical amount for a property and they got it done. Yay, we got the property. But I think there's a bigger picture here that we all need to be looking at. So I want to make very, very, very clear that these questions and these conversations that need to happen up front also protect that from happening. So you can really get a good sense of these clients that you're working with and making sure that, yeah, how hard can I push on this? How hard can I help them move forward? Because the last thing you want to do is be forceful in a market like this. I actually think it's one of those things that could come back and bite the real estate agent later on if it was too forceful or too coercive in the moment of trying to get them to write an offer or push the offer higher or go to removing all contingencies. And then you've got a homeowner that buys a house that, it's got a cracked foundation. It's got other stuff going on. And hey, guess what? That's what you had to do to buy a property. There's a fine line there that you really need to find out what the thresholds of your clients are. And you can only do that through a really good 10-step buyer's process.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm chuckling because when you were saying they walk into the house and they're like, oh no, I was again picturing Job from Arrested Development. Buyer walks in and goes, I've made a huge mistake. So I apologize for my little break and chuckling there, but the buyer's remorse can be so real, particularly if you think about it, right? You 15, 20 offers on a property and you win. You're like, so there's 19 other people who felt that it wasn't appropriate to pay the price that I'm paying. Am I doing the right thing here?
Yeah, and they wouldn't step up.
If you don't have that clarity up front, then you could be left with somebody who's just like, okay, now we really need to start clawing things back on the inspection. And for those of you on the list side, I'm sure you've seen this, right? You get a buyer who just throws out a number there and then the inspection comes and they're like, boom, all of those things. And you're like, how do we avoid this stuff? And it's clarity up front, getting your buyers ready to go so that they're super excited about what's going on. And the one thing I want people to avoid, because I hear this way too much, and I know you do too, Garrett, is, well, sometimes they just got to lose a few to really understand what they need to do. It's like, oh, no, they don't. because the first one that they lose is probably the house that they really, really wanted. And if they weren't ready for that and they lose that house, all the rest of the ones, they're going to be like, but it's just not like that other house. Did it fall out of contract? Did that one come back on the market? And now their mindset is all messed up and they're confused. And then they might be settling for something and feel like they're overpaying. It's like, well, because we need to get a house. It's not going to be like that one that we lost out on, but this will do. And we don't want that situation.
Yeah, anybody who knows me personally knows that I'm a nonviolent person. That saying of they need to lose a few to be able to know how the marketplace works brings out a weird energy in me.
We've triggered Garrett.
it's like, don't do that to them. Like, when I hear that, it's always been my way of saying, no, that's you not doing your job. Your job is to make sure that they don't have to experience that in the marketplace. That's what your experience is. That's why you've been doing this for so long and they're paying you. You know, they're not necessarily paying you, but obviously you're getting compensated through this transaction to make this thing come together and to be that person for them that educates them so that they don't have to go through that. And they don't have to sit there and say, man, because you're right, Matt, the first house they find, they fall in love with, that they lose, that one becomes the benchmark to all other homes. And I've had clients that they are like, but it's not like the first one. That first one had the sun deck on it. And I could picture myself out there and I want to find one like that again. And then you find the house that has the sun deck and they go, yeah, but it doesn't have the oversized garage like the first house had. Like, yep. it's like, oh my gosh. Like, we found the holy grail for the first property. You lost it. And now we're trying to find this thing that compares to it all the time. Don't do that to your people. And again, we go back to the better you do the 10-step buyer's process up front and the better you educate them on how to play in this marketplace. It's a different game. And by the way, game changes all the time. Like right now, we got this wonderful virus running around out there that I think we should do an entire podcast on major outbreaks. Oh my gosh. I don't even want to say the name right now because it's like it's every coaching call I've had. But like the game changes all the time. The game is changing right now. People's worries, concerns, fears, you know, what this all means changes and our patterns need to change and our game needs to change. The process never changes.
Oh, that's like gold right there. And I want to repeat it. The process never changes. The game might change, but the process never changes. Because when you do the process, you achieve success. And I also want to say, you may not win the multiple offer scenarios, but your buyers will become more comfortable as to why they didn't win versus getting hung up on it. Because if somebody just comes in all cash, no contingencies, $300,000 over asking price on a $300,000 home, and your buyer's like, yeah, I'm just not going that far, they're going to be comfortable with losing out on that house. You know,
it's an educated decision at that point in time. When the conversations have all happened and we can all sit there at the same table going, let's discuss why we just lost that house. And would you guys have been willing to jump up to these levels that it would have taken to make that home come together for you? And if they're sitting there going, no, I'm actually really happy we didn't do that. That was not the right thing to do. That would not have put us in a good position. Great. We need to move along that. Yeah, and we will find the right house.
And then they'll be ready. Now, so Garrett, you and I talked about this before hitting record, and I want to kind of shift to this as well and talk about how we set expectations for some of these buyers that maybe are these longer term scenarios or something's changed in their lives along this process or now they're in this position where this is exactly what we're looking for. We are comfortable with where we are now for the next year or two. We want to move because of X, Y, and Z, but if possible, this is what we really want to find. How do we handle the expectations and the communications with these type of buyers so that as agents, we're not wasting our time and really not wasting the buyer's time? Because that's really what I think ultimately happens is we can end up wasting a buyer's time a lot. And that impacts ourselves as well. So what can we do?
Well, and before I say, what would we do? I'm watching a lot of people's hot lists out there right now build up with these types of people in the buyer category. They've got a lot of people in there. Well, they would if, and they're not really being pushed by a lot of pain or a lot of pleasure in their life. They've got a place to live. They're comfortable living where they're living. It doesn't seem to be amplifying to a point of we need to find a place today. And they're kind of like, when it shows up, we'll be ready to do something. And you definitely have to have a game plan for those people, because otherwise, as I look at a lot of people's hot lists, those people sometimes are fairly loud. And what I mean they're fairly loud is they want to talk. They've got time. They don't have a whole lot of things pushing on them right now that's making them go like, look, my time's valuable. They're like, we got to get a house or we got to be out of here. They're a little bit more kind of like sitting on the front porch drinking tea going, let's talk about that dream of that next house and when it shows up and how awesome it's going to be. But they're not moving forward.
They also create interruptions in your routine, because those are the buyers. All of a sudden, the email pops in and says, how about this one? And then you look at it as something urgent that you must address, and it just threw off your whole day. And then you schedule the showing, and then like, you know what? We decided we don't want to go see it. And you're like, oh, yeah. Like they become these interruptions.
So I think to fix this, one of my ways, which is the opposite of what a lot of people think, is actually more communication.
I like it.
More communication, but on a different route. If they're putting that time frame up there, they need to know we're still paying attention to them, but we need to change our dialogues from this home that we're searching for and bringing it more back into them and their life and how are they doing and what that might be, and let them know, hey, we got our eyes open out there. We're looking. And hey, I'm still going to be in flow with you. I'm still going to connect with you. It's just not going to be about real estate right now. And you build that relationship stronger and stronger. There's a couple of reasons for it. One is that even though these guys are kind of floundering a little bit and being able to make a decision and buying a house, they're still out there talking with all of their friends. They're still out there communicating with everybody. And a lot of people get stuck in like, yeah, but are these guys going to buy or sell? I don't care if they buy or sell. I really don't. What I'm really big picture when I'm helping somebody build a business is I care about all the people that they're out there talking with, all the people that are sitting in the grandstands at the soccer game of this last weekend, everybody that they're seeing at little barbecues as the sun's starting to come up and things are starting to warm up. Those are the people I care about. They're the ones that they're talking to, and they're loaded with people that need help around them. So,
oh yeah,
communication comes up in the form of Ford. Communication about real estate drops. And believe me, you can say, Larry told me one time, when you get somebody in that position, what you're doing is you're just checking their pulse. You just need to check their pulse every once in a while. And you by asking forward questions and listening to where they're at and what's going on, all of a sudden you'll watch their pulse raise. You'll watch the stress level start to come up. And that's when you can then go back into real estate mode with them. But in the meantime, you just get to check their pulse regularly. And I like, if you can, somebody who's backed away, Matt, you made a comment of like, yeah, but do I still have to make my weekly, you know, customer service call them?
Right.
Yeah, but it's not customer service anymore. You're now making a weekly warm list call, just checking on their pulse and being in their world and being around them. But that's my strategy with those people that are out there, which, again, seems backwards because you actually up communication. You just change your form of communication.
Yeah, you want to love on your people a little bit more. And I think there's a lot of people saying, okay, that's great. And I will try to do that. But what do I do with the people who are not responsive? The people who just kind of look at us as kind of having a business relationship. And the first step is, well, start to ask more forward questions and see if you can move that relationship forward. And the second thing that I always tell people is set expectations for what's going to happen. Set the guidelines. Like, talk about, well, if you guys are going to continue to be searching online, you're going to see things come on and come off. And I know that you're saying you're going to wait. Have a protocol for what happens when they do find something that they're like, oh, this is sparking our interest. Set up that, hey, you know, we're going to be communicating with each other just about life and everything, but like, I also want to do just like a monthly call to talk about where you guys are at, just so that you know what's going on in the market. Like, it's okay to set that stuff up as long as you set the expectation. That gets weird when you say, oh, okay, you're going to take a break. And then you call them a week later and you're like, so how about that home search? And they're like, I just told you we're taking a break. And you're like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to check in and see if anything's changed. It's like, set the expectation as soon as they say something about wanting to take a break so that it makes it easy to have conversations going forward. And then the other side of this, and I had this happen to a client recently, if they don't respond to you, don't worry. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep your auto flow. Keep, you know, leaving voicemails with forward questions, because they're not focused on you. They're focused on life and what they have going on in their world. They're happy that you're calling because they're going to come back and say, hey, Garrett, really appreciate all the calls. I'm sorry that we haven't got back to you, but hey, we're ready. And then you're there.
Yeah. And you want to stay on that path. Again, we don't want to be pursuing people. A lot of times when I find that people are going like, but they're not calling me back. Well, these guys, again, have said they want to take a break. They've got a little distance into them. And you wonder why they're not calling you back when your phone call is, hey, just want to check in and make sure you guys didn't need anything. Like, you know, if anything might have come up that you're looking at. And again, yeah, there's no reason for them to respond back to you.
Yeah, they're thinking like, oh, that's nice of Garrett to check in, but yep, I'm good. I don't need him right now, so no need to call him back.
All right, like they see the voicemail, turn to text, whatever they're looking at real quick, and they're like, thanks, he checked in. One of my favorite lines, Matt, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, is from a White Stripes song. If anybody ever listens to the White Stripes, there's a song called The Denial Twist, I think is what it is. The lyric is, I ain't the reason you gave me no reason to return your call.
Just, I love it.
Horrible English, but I ain't the reason you gave me no reason to return your call. And so I've been talking with people a lot about this when they have people that are not returning their phone calls or it's gone silent on the other end. I always ask, if you had to listen to your voice message, was it compelling or was there any big reasons in there to call you back?
Yeah.
And the answer is, I literally, hands down, I've always found when I'm like, tell me the message you left. And I'm always like, oh, you were their realtor. That's what you were. You were the realtor calling, just checking in, want to see how things are going, let me know if you need anything. I don't understand why they're not calling me back. Well, because they don't need you right now, and you set up a beautiful realtor relationship is what you've done. There's nothing outside of it. You didn't ask about their life. You didn't ask about their world. And I will put out there, Matt, because you just brought it up, is like sometimes we have not taken the steps up front to learn about their life in the world. And so when the realtor relationship ends, that's all we got. And then we wonder why we can't make that phone call. We can't follow up. We can't check in because we haven't taken the time up front to get to know all those great little nooks and crannies. And the sad part is when the client says, we're going to take a break, that is not the opportunity to say, so do you have kids?
So we're going to have to continue this relationship in some form and fashion now that you're taking a break. Let's have a conversation about what else is important to you besides real estate so that I have a reason to call you.
Yeah, you got any hobbies? Like, what do you like doing? Do you like doing things on the weekend? I mean, because I know you like looking at property on the weekend. We've done that for the last 6 months. But like, what else do you like to do when you're not looking at property? You can't do that here.
Yeah.
That had to happen.
Yeah, so that goes right back to the 10-step buyer process and setting this whole thing up in the beginning so that you can learn about them. And when you're doing your weekly customer service calls, when you're engaged in the process, using the 5-step calling process, asking the 4 questions, and also starting to set yourself up with little touches that aren't about that process and about that transaction while you are guiding them through, like those text messages on the weekends to check in about something that was important to them, like their kid's soccer game. That is the opportunity to build the relationship so that when they pause, you still have a relationship.
Well, and also an underlying, Matt, is that there is a life change that led them to this moment of wanting to buy a property. And the life change typically hasn't gone away. And this is what you, as a real estate agent working with somebody, needs to be very, very, very clear on, is that there's this life change and you got to ask yourself, is the life change there or is it gone? If the life change is gone, there's probably not a whole lot that's going to happen moving forward here. They're probably done long term until a life change comes back up. Usually the life change isn't gone. The pain or pleasure has just been reduced on it to the point that it's not causing them to have to act fast.
Yes.
But they still have the life change underlying there. And that is one of your key things you can always come back to, just to check and see how things are going or ask questions around that new baby that's in the house and what's the new baby doing right now. And, you know, checking in on that type of stuff that you learned and what was the big thing that was causing this maybe move to happen up front. That's a very safe place to go back to. And that's where I go back to checking the pulse. Kind of want to always be kind of circling around that to see where are the pain levels with that right now. Yeah, baby's arrived, everything's been great, but now baby's sleeping in the master bedroom and nobody's getting sleep and jobs are starting to suffer and all kinds of stuff, and you can watch the pain levels start to rise again. And it's like, oh, here we go.
Oh, goodness. If you guys can avoid having the baby sleep in your bedroom, do it. Do not bring that baby in there. Trust me.
Spoken from a new dad.
Best thing we ever did was get her in her crib right away. So Garrett, I'm taking three really important things out of this conversation. The first one being full 10-step buyer process up front, really having those conversations at step 10, sharing stories, setting expectations for what type of questions that you might be asking when you're out there looking at property. Two, love on your people more, get to know them, build the relationship. So if they do have a decrease in pain or pleasure and decide to slow it down, you can still maintain the relationship. And then the third thing is setting expectations for what's going to happen next if they do decide to hit the pause button for a little bit or the life change has altered for them. And I think all of this includes as well you, the realtor, being detached from the outcome. Because if you're focused on trying to put a deal together, you're going to lose sight of the people real fast. But as soon as you detach yourself from the outcome, we're just out there helping people then.
Well, and to add in maybe a fourth piece to it, which is going along the lines of detaching to the outcome, is understand where the real business is. And sometimes the business is not point blank right in front of you. It's actually the people that are all around the person you're working with. And sometimes we get so quick to go like, oh, no business here, moving along. And we let those guys just go off into the distance. It's like, no, 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 no. They are surrounded again by people that need help. I wanted just to add that one in there. But I also want to go back to, I love what you said about setting expectations at that point that the roles are starting to change. I watch very few real estate agents set an expectation. They just kind of like drift into just a lighter working relationship, which then kind of gets weird and kind of falls apart. Where if you just say, here's how it's going to look going forward from here, here's what we need to be doing, everybody's working on the same page then at that point. It's really important.
Yeah. And it makes life so much easier. So, Garrett, today we have a fun shout out because it's a shout out to the Denver Ninja, and we're covering a lot of ninjas here with this one.
Goes out to everybody.
I'm sure this person knows who they are who wrote this review because it comes from the Denver Ninja, and it says bite-sized information. I love that I have the ability to drive into a topic at my pace and when I have time. Knowledge is power, especially when I can break it down and digest it. I agree. I'm not sure if that's a review about the podcast or just a great thought.
I guess we're
putting out some really good bite-sized information. So Denver Ninja, thank you so much for the 5-star review. Totaling now in terms of 5-star ratings, 70. That's great. So thank you all for that. We really appreciate you. And keep listening. Keep dropping the reviews. Keep sharing your worlds with us because this is where these topics are coming from. And I want to say thank you to all of our clients because you guys have been really putting in some great work this year so far and kind of fueling our topics for this podcast as well.
And Matt, we've got some fun announcements coming up. So I'm looking forward to the upcoming podcast.
We do have some fun announcements. So we'll leave you hanging there. A dot, dot, dot for you right there.
Everybody, enjoy your day. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you have an amazing day with amazing people changing lives out there. So again, thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us here on the Ninja Coaching Coast to Coast podcast. We appreciate your time and attention. If you receive some value out of this episode, we would love for you to share it, subscribe to the podcast, and if you feel so compelled, to leave us a review. Have an amazing day. We'll see you soon.